Come, walk with me among the stars. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Come walk with me among the stars. One of the first requisites of walking among the stars is that you believe that you deserve to be among the stars, that you deserve to walk among the stars and enjoy whatever it is that we're going to enjoy. Because you see, when you walk with me among the stars, you're walking with me in unconditional love. You're walking with me in the purity of spirit and the purity of mind and the purity of all your beingness. You walk with me without any fear that you might fall, any fear that you might not be able to do it, any fear that you'd get lost among the stars. But just come with me now into the idea that there is a place among many, 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 many places, but every place is that, and the place is here and now, and the place is the stars. So let's lift up our thought and our mind unto the concept of the stars. So we're going to walk among the stars. Now, that could mean something very beautiful, or it could mean something very wishful. Now, if it's beautiful, it is done. If it's wishful, it's something that we'd like to have done. Now let's just take off and begin to soar among the stars, which are the ideals and the dreams and the wonders and the magic of our life. Are you living here on Earth? Okay. If you're living on Earth, what are you doing in the stars? If you're living on Earth, why are you even thinking about going among the stars? If you're living on Earth, you're human. If you're living on Earth, you're not expressing your divinity, because you're saying, I live on Earth. Now, what does a divine person do? A divine person is anywhere it chooses to be, and but is not limited by its environment. You know, it's not limited by the atmosphere it's in. It's not limited by anything except whatever it can imagine for itself to experience. I say to you, let's dive into another dimension. And you say, wow, sure. And so it's like diving into cold water. You dive into a dimension and you feel this crisp, sharp newness, this rebirth inside of you. You feel this wonderment, this magic, and it's a great experience, okay? What's this other dimension like? Well, for a divine person, for a master person, it's whatever they choose it to be. So I choose to dive into this other dimension. Before I go there, it has no parameters. It has no beingness about it. It's just waiting to be formed by my thought. And so I go there and I say, you know where I'm going? I'm going to the planet of unconditional love. And on this planet of unconditional love, what do I conceive of? I conceive of unconditional love everywhere and everything. And it's a great experience. And in unconditional love, I don't owe anybody anything. Nobody owes me anything. We just all are being ourselves and having fun in the max, you know. We're just having a great, joyous time. You say, well, what are you doing? I say, well, the things that we're doing do not equate in human terms. Because the things that a divine person living unconditional love is doing is just smelling the roses, is just walking down the street and looking at all the beautiful ideal beings all around. a divine person living in their heavenly state or living in the other dimension, which is the dimension of unconditional love at this moment, what are they experiencing? Is there a dog that's going to bite them ever? Huh. My goodness, where'd that thought come from? Is there anyone inharmonious with them ever about anything? No. Is there ever a need for anything? If they think I'm cool, there's chilly cool, and poof, they're warm. If they think I'm warm, poof, they're comfortable, cool, you know. Whatever thought they think, well, now, in that realm, there wouldn't be a feeling of warmth and cold. Okay, that's your creation. If you want it, so that there's no feeling of warmth and cold, so that you do not have that sensation, so that you do not experience that sensation of perfect temperature and perfect warmth and perfect this and that, you know, you don't have to. What is a great joy that many star walkers do? They love to run outside naked when it rains. And it's a lovely warm rain, and they feel it all over their body. They feel, oh, it's so heavenly, you know? Now, a lot of star walkers can't handle that. It's not that they can't handle that. It's not something that pleases them. Now, if you're living in Ghana or someplace, and it's even taught by the missionaries that you should always have your clothes on, you should always be dressed, you should always be proper, well, then to walk out in the rain naked would not be a proper thing to do if anyone could see you, you know. And if no one could see you, that's all right too, but you're always afraid someone might be around the corner peeking, you know. Why would they care, you know? So, you see, in the planet of unconditional love, there's none of that judgment. There's none of that feeling of what's right or what's wrong. You just do everything, and you're incapable of doing something that's inharmonious with you or inharmonious with your world. You see, when you walk among the stars, you're walking among the ideals of your life. You're walking among the ideals of your world, and you're just having such a good time. You're having such a good time, but you don't think of it as a good time because, you know, you always have a good time when you're living in this consciousness and this wonderment of your divine. You're always having a good time because there's no bad times. There's nothing to be bad. And of course, you're not human. You're divine. So everything is super good. You know, it's super wonderful. But you don't even equate it as super wonderful or super good because it just is. Now, when you walk among the stars, what sort of things do you take along with you? You take your computer along so that you you work on that? Do you take your special clothing along? Or how are you dressed? Now, Ellen, when she first came to the university and was on a number of different trips, and one of her trips was that she was the princess or the queen of, Liechtenstein. But that was not the big deal. The big deal was what she wore. She wore beautiful white flowing gowns. She loved the beautiful white flowing gowns that she wore as the princess, because that's what a princess wears. She visualized the princess wearing this lovely clothing. Now, is there anything that says to Ellen that she cannot wear that clothing here? No. Now, Pam Wengler is a person who loves to have these very gracious, glorious clothing, you know? And she has a closet full of it. But she only wears it on special occasions. What a shame. She should wear that all the time. That should be her calling card, you know, her lovely clothing. Now, Carol Ellsworth, she was another princess. And she had clothing in her closet that, you know, would belong to a queen, belong to a magnificent being of the highest report, and colorful and dramatic. Oh my, she had clothing that would really shake a boat, you know. And she did. But she only wore it for her church services, and she only wore it for special occasions. Now, what a shame that we can only think that we can walk among the stars on special occasions. You see, we don't have the self-confidence to say that I am always a queen. I am always the queen of Liechtenstein. I am always the queen wearing my beautiful white clothing. Well, you see, it would get old if you wore it all the time. Well, then why wear it at all, you know? I don't think it gets old. I think it gets old from the point of view that you're wearing it to show off. And when you wear it all the time, you're not wearing it to show off. You're wearing it because that is your royal garb. Now, just stop and think, you silly, silly people. Have you ever seen Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? What did the Wicked Witch always wear? She always wore her beautiful clothing, except when she was a witch, you know. And then she wore her witch clothing. But she was always wearing her beautiful gowns. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the most beautiful of all? Not you, you ugly old creature. Snow White. And what did Snow White wear? No matter what Snow White wore, it was glorious. Her clothing just sort of floated on her body. You can do those things with cartoons, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was lovely. It was just lovely. And you see, when you see other shows, cartoon shows about princesses and so forth, you know, Aladdin. What did the princess always wear when the princess came to Aladdin? She was always wearing her glorious gowns. Always. Because she was always a princess. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're walking among the stars, and you're a free being expressing your absolute wonderment, what are you wearing? Are you wearing the gown of a princess or a queen or a king or a prince? Are you wearing the gown of a happy wanderer? Are you wearing the gown of a jester or whatever pleases you? What gown are you wearing? What gown are you in your mind? What gown are you wearing? That just tells you where you are in consciousness. Now, if this is true, and I know it's not, if this is true, and you don't even think about what you're wearing, because your mind is far beyond clothing or being concerned about that, then you are really into your divine packet, you know, your divine circuit. That's great. But I know for a fact. Every time I say, let's take a trip, you say, what should we take along? You know? Every time I say, let's go to the planet of unconditional love, but I have nothing to wear. Mm-hmm. Oh, Ellen says, no, she doesn't think that. Oh, but yes, she does. Yes, she does. Ellen thinks, what am I going to be expressing myself as on the planet of unconditional love? Am I going to be expressing myself as pure light? Oh, yes, she says, yes, 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 that's good. And that is good. Are you going to be expressing yourself as multiple lights? You know, Elizabeth Clare Prophet, who is with the Summit Lighthouse Group, she's a very amazing lady, as was Billy Sunday. And Elizabeth Clare gives a lot of talks that agencies talk through her. And she speaks for Jesus, and Jesus talks through her. But whenever she's up doing these things, she is wearing the most gorgeous gowns that you could ever imagine. And she has had her hair done in many styles. She's had the afro hair for many years, and then she has the shorty, now she has the medium, then she has the long. And she goes through all these different stages, which is fine. Which reflects her personality. She's the most amazing woman. And she has the most amazing following. And it's very interesting. Very interesting. But the thing is, she's always consistent. She's always consistent. She apparently is well-tuned. But she listens to the divine within her. She listens to what she likes to call those who speak through her. And is a beautiful mirror of it. And where did she get all this wisdom and all this knowledge and all these information? Just because she is tuned in, you know? Now, she's not a stupid lady, but many people are stupid because they look at her and they think that she wants to protect the world, that she wants to help the world, that she wants to have ammunition and guns and stuff like that. in her ranch and stuff like that. And if they would just listen to her heart, which very few do, what did Jesus say? Did Jesus say that I am the King of the Jews? No. But his disciples said it, because he was the leader coming at that particular time, and so this is what they told about him. And this is what they used as the final death knell to him. You see, our followers, our friends, the people who walk the path with us, are our worst enemy. Because instead of looking to themselves and seeing themselves walking among the stars in harmony and beauty and peace, they want to go, hey, Herb's taking a trip to the stars. Come on, let's go with Herb to the stars. And half the people will think Herb is nuts, and the other half people will think, wow, let's go. And you see, something like this, when I say let's take a trip to the stars, everybody who wants to do it will do it. And everybody who doesn't want to do it say, oh, that's just a fairy tale he's making up, you know? And that's just fine. It's better that it's a fairy tale he makes up than that he's lost his marbles, you know? Because it could very easily be taken in that way. Now, on our trip through the stars now, what are you wearing? Doesn't matter. What are you thinking? Doesn't matter. What are you doing? Doesn't matter. Where are you? I'm in the absolute of the absolute. I'm in the all of the all. I am being washed in the experience of love and peace and harmony, and anything about my nature which might have been limiting me in the least little bit is washed away. I am pure spirit. I am pure love. I am pure allness. And I say, let's go. And every heart that is ready to go takes off with me. I don't have to give a great fol-de-rol. I don't have to give a great preparation talk. Now, today we're going to take our bus into the stars. And we're going to travel here and there and do this and that. No. You know, as I told you, this article in the Discover magazine or something like that, showing the desire to go to the stars, go to the visit the planets and stuff, and it had a board like this, and the guy was sitting on it with no seatbelt or anything, and underneath it were four jets, you know, shooting him up. Now, here he is traveling through the atmosphere, without atmosphere. He's traveling up to a planet, to Mars or wherever he's going, and the board is just going to let him down. He's not going to fall off, because the board won't let him. The board will scoop him in such a way that he can't fall off. And he won't lose any breath, because he's going into this in a spiritual conscious concept, you know, with a spiritual consciousness. And he's having all these experiences. He has to. Number one, the artist drew the picture, okay? First, the scientist had the thought. Then the artist drew the picture of what they thought it was. And then the stupid magazine publishes it, because they think that it's charming. And then the stupid readers look at it and say, that's not real. Isn't that interesting, though? You know, giving it some credibility, even though they say it is incredible, you know. And this is how we are. This is how we are. Now, do you want to be the person who thinks up the incredible idea, who draws up the incredible idea, who tells about the incredible idea, who publishes the incredible idea, and who lives the incredible idea? Or do you want to just be the incredible idea and enjoy it? Do you want to just be the ability to travel through time and space without any need for any additional help, like lung breathing and space suit to keep you from being squashed? You see, when you travel among the stars, you travel among the stars as beauty. Now, I could have just given you a lovely journey through the stars, as I often did in the trip to the planet of unconditional love. And we'll do that one day. But the point is here, we have had so much scientific knowledge that has shown us the possibility. Remember Jules Verne? Well, he wrote about all this stuff too. And the time machines. And they've written about these things from the time beginning. And every one of them had a moralistic attitude about it. You have to be careful that you don't violate the time continuum. You have to be careful that you don't mess up the program, the universal programs that mankind and space-time matter exists in. And you see, that's human. Now, the minute you let the human go, there's nothing to mess up. You can't mess up anything. All you can do is be and enjoy. All you can do is fly. We want to get to the point in our consciousness, and that's why I want you to walk through the stars with me today. We want to get the point in our consciousness that there are no human limitations. There are no mental limitations. There are no spiritual limitations. It's not that we're the allness, which we are, but it's that we have the ability to experience any concept that we choose to experience on our own foundation. We have the opportunity to experience anything we want on our own foundation. They did an operation on a girl in the National Geographic, and they operated on her brain to take out a brain tumor. And in the process, they worked on her, and they showed pictures of all what they were doing. They showed where the tumor was, and they showed how they had to be careful not to cut into any of the outer edge around it, yet to get all of the tumor out. And that to make sure they didn't cut into it, they would touch little areas on the outer, which were her ability to speak, her ability to see, her ability to think, her ability to feel. And see, as they touched each one of these, they were still in good condition. And so they knew that the operation could be a success, which it was. But the big thing was, what amazing things we come up with, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What utterly amazing things. And yet, it's not amazing, my incredulous people. It's not amazing. Because we have skulls from ancient peoples in prehistoric times who had tree painting done on them, where they cut a hole in the skull itself to release the pressure of the brain, which was having a problem. And the person lived because they put the piece back and the piece grew back into place. Not once, but many times. Now, that in itself is a piece of magical mystery, you know. In the time that it was done is a piece of magical mystery. The man who had the problem was a piece of magical mystery that he could have created for himself a tree painter, a doctor who would cut in with a chisel into his head to open up that, and that a person had the skill to do what they did as a doctor or, you know, as whatever they call it, a tree painter. I mean, those many different aspects just show that there's nothing impossible. When the student is ready, the teacher is already there. When the brain is needed to have that work done, the tree painter is there. How could he come out of the infinite allness of possibilities of people around there to have the finesse to do that operation? You see, nothing's impossible. And maybe it wasn't done with a chisel, you know. Maybe it wasn't done that way. Maybe it was done by the tree painter's ability to use his eyes as lasers and just cut the bone like this with his eyes. Say zip, 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 and boop, out she comes. Why not? Mm-hmm. Why not? Maybe the tree painter, in that stage of consciousness, which was rather marvelous, would just say, hey, open up. And so the portion of the skull would open up and the pressure was off. And then they can put it back again. And the guy would live. Now, wow. How were the pyramids built?
By consciousness.
Why don't you go among the stars and find out among the stars how it was really done? Because you already know. But the stars are a lovely journey adventure in our consciousness to open us up to the realms of the infinite that we could never have dreamed about unless we left the materialization, the humanization, and stepped into the divinity of our allness. Kind of fun, isn't it? Kind of fun. Come walk with me among the stars and watch the imagination, watch the dreaming take place in a way that we had never dreamed possible. Life is wonderful. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.